two generations back, in the days of our great-grandparents, a literary work of less than 3 volumes was scorned as a potboiler. Even Dickens was considered a hasty youth for turning out a novel of a mere 600 pages. Perhaps you might call him the radio writer of his day. Then, around the turn of the century, the short story came into its own, and it developed a perfection comparable to that of the sonnet, in contrast to the long epic poem. Certainly, the short story is the hand grenade of literature, the shock, the quick surprise, the compact firing power. One of the masters of the short story form is Sir Max Beerbohm. His most famous collection of stories is called Seven Men, in which he writes about 6 different, highly unusual characters. The seventh is invariably himself, the stout, ever-smiling Max Beerbohm in person. One of his characters is a tall, cadaverous, rather dim young man named Enoch Soames. It's a story you'll find in many anthologies, for it is one of the most popular and intriguing yarns in our language. The celebrated American humorist Mr. Donald Ogden Stewart named this as his favorite story. Hans Conried and Barry Kroger are our leading players as we bring you Enoch Soames.
I'm a writer. My name's Beerbohm. You may call me Max when you get to know me better. Most of my friends do. As a matter of fact, they call me the Incredible Max or the Incomparable Max. Though heaven knows why, I've never felt I've done very much to deserve those adjectives. Now, if you've ever tried to write, you know, there are certain stories one simply must write. Well, this is a story I absolutely have to write. You'll see, I have no choice in the matter. So, I might as well get the thing done right now. E-N-O-C-H-S-A-M-E-S. Enoch Soames. What a character. I met him first at a London cafe. The year was 1897. How young I was. And so full of notions about writers and poets being romantic. Well, you see, I myself had dreams of being a writer. I was sitting with Rothenstein, the artist. And suddenly we both saw him. He was a stooping, shambling person, rather tall, very pale, with longish and brownish hair. He had a thin, vague beard. Very odd-looking, very bohemian.
All right, Max, try that man as an exercise. You young writers seem keen on getting the exact word for everything and everybody. What would be the exact word for that one?
Hungry. Yes, hungry, that's the word.
Mother.
How would you describe it?
Dim, merely dim.
Well, the dim man is on his way to our table.
Oh, dear, he probably knows we've been talking about him.
Hello.
Hello.
You don't remember me, do you?
Why, of course.
Soames is the name.
What, certainly. Edwin Soames.
Enoch Soames.
Enoch Soames?
May I sit down?
Please do. This is Max Beerbohm.
How do you do?
Not very well, thank you.
What will you have?
Something strong, if you don't mind.
Don't you think it's bad for you?
Nothing is bad. Nothing is good. Nothing is anything.
How do you mean?
I explained it all in the preface to Negation.
Negation? What's that?
Well, my first book.
You've written a book? Oh, how wonderful.
Several books. My second volume is about to be issued.
May I ask what kind of book it will be?
My poem.
Is that to be the title? My Poems by Enoch Soames. It rhymes.
Certainly not. You are a very good painter, Mr. Rothenstein, but you are a very bad maker of rhymes. Poems does not rhyme with Soames. And I rather want to have a drawing of myself as a frontispiece. Do you happen to know an artist who might like to perform such a commission? I feel certain it would bring that artist great honor.
Well, no, I don't happen to know such an artist. Oh, dear, look at the time. We really must be running. Come,
Max. Yes,
but that should pay the reckoning. Goodbye, Mr.
But
Soames.
Mr. Rothenstein, I was about to ask you what you can.
Quite an interesting character.
Interesting? My dear boy, he's impossible.
Why were you so determined not to draw him?
Draw him? Him? How can one draw a man who doesn't exist?
Still, Soames had written a book, and I rushed to buy it. After all, I'd met the author, face to face. Negation. But frankly, I couldn't make head or tail of it.
As you read it,
you know, you could almost hear Soames pronounce each word. The stuff went something like this.
Lean nearer to life. Lean very near. Nearer. Nearer. Life is a web, and therein nor warp nor woof is.
Nor warp nor woof is. Yes. Now, the question was Enoch Soames a fool? Or was I? I met him again in the same cafe. The hungry, dim man was sitting alone reading a book. Hello, Soames. I hope I'm not interrupting you.
I prefer to be interrupted. Sit down, won't you?
Oh, thank you. Do you often read here?
Yes. Things of this kind I read here.
The poems of Shelley.
Second rate.
Oh. Of course, Shelley's very uneven.
I should have thought evenness was just what was wrong with him. A deadly evenness. That's why I read him here. The noise of this place breaks the rhythm. He's endurable here.
What about Keats?
Well, there are passages in Keats. Of the older men, I like Milton. Milton wasn't sentimental. I can always read Milton in the reading room.
The reading room?
Of the library, the British Museum. I go there every day.
You do? I've only been there once. I'm afraid I found it rather a depressing place. It seemed to sap one's vitality.
It does. It does, that's why I go there. The lower one's vitality, the more sensitive one is to great art. Such is my latest work.
Oh, when does it come out?
Next week.
And is it to be published without a title?
No, I found a title at last, but I shan't tell you what it is. I'm not sure that it wholly satisfies me. But it's the best I can find. It suggests something of the quality of the poem. Strange growth, natural and wild, yet exquisite and many-hued and full of poise. You'll see.
I saw. The title was Fungoid. And that's exactly what the poems were. Rather strange fungus growth. I met him next in that same cafe.
Oh, hello there, Beerbohm.
Hello, Soames. I hope Fungoid is selling splendidly.
Did you buy a copy?
Well, yes, I did.
Thank you very much. That was very charitable of you. You are in very select company. My publisher has just informed me that a total of 3 copies has been sold.
Oh, you're joking.
You don't suppose I care, do you? I'm a poet, not a tradesman.
Well, an artist who gives truly new and great things to the world always has to wait a long while for recognition.
I don't care a sou for recognition.
No. Well, I agree. The act of creation is its own reward.
I'm a liar. A blasted liar. You know that, don't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You think I haven't minded?
Minded what, Soames?
Neglect. Failure. What would you know about the feelings of a man such as I? You've never guessed at the bitterness and the loneliness, the posterity. What use is it to me? A dead man doesn't know that people are visiting his birthplace, putting up tablets to him, unveiling statues to him. A dead man can't read the books that are written about him. 100 years hence, think of it.
We shall not be here.
No, but the library will still be here, the British Museum, and the reading room just where it is. And people will be able to go and read there.
Very likely.
Oh, if I could only come back to life then. Just for a few hours, and go to the reading room and read. Or better still, if I could be projected now at this moment into that future. Into that reading room just for this one afternoon, I'd sell myself body and soul to the devil for that. Think of the pages and pages in the catalogue, Soames, Enoch, endlessly, endless editions, commentaries, bibliographies, biographies.
I do beg your pardon. Excuse me, I couldn't help but overhear. Might I take a liberty? Might I, as the phrase goes, cut in?
Certainly.
Thank you. Though not an Englishman, I know my London well, Mr. Soames.
Eh?
Your name and fame, Mr. Beerbohm's too, very well known to me.
How do you do?
Your point is, who am I? I am the devil.
Oh, it's well done. It's a very good joke. Are you with some local theatrical company?
Yes,
playing
cool.
Dr. Faustus, perhaps, huh? Oh, it's well done. It's a good show. Oh,
show? I am a gentleman. I thought I was in the company of gentlemen.
Oh, no.
I shall address my remarks only to you, Mr. Soames. I'm a man of business. I'm ready to make a deal.
Go on.
You wish to visit now, this afternoon, the reading room of the British Museum, yes? But 100 years hence.
That is right.
Time, a mere illusion. Past and future, they're as ever present as the present, or at any rate, only what you call just around the corner. This is June 3rd, 1897. I project you to June 3rd, 1997. Poof! You wish to find yourself standing in the reading room this very minute, yes? And to stay there until closing time. Am I right?
That was my wish.
It is now 2:10. Closing time then, same as now, 7 o'clock. That will give you almost 5 hours. At 7 o'clock, poof! You find yourself again here, sitting at this table. I come and fetch you here, Mr. Soames, on my way home.
Home?
Be it never so humble.
Soames, I believe this creature really is the devil. But of course it is. Shall we go?
Oh, no, Soames, don't be ridiculous. Think of the consequences.
I would prefer the truth.
Soames. 100 years hence. Ready?
Ready.
Soames, don't! You can't! Soames! You...
Soames?
But of course, off on a pleasant trip into the future. Enjoy yourself, Mr. Enoch Soames. Enjoy yourself.
Max Beerbohm merely sat there in that cafe. And immediately across the table was the devil, looking, how shall I put it, devilish. Soames was gone, whisked into the future for some literary research about himself. The devil gazed at Beerbohm, looking vulgarly triumphant. Beerbohm merely shuddered.
Well, my dear Mr. Beerbohm, there is something for you to write about, eh?
This whole business gives me the shivers. Soames, in the flesh, is now, at this moment, living in 1997. Poring over books not even written yet. Seeing and being seen by men not even born yet. But what really gives me the creeps is that tonight and evermore, he will be with you down
there. Do not even mention the word. It has unpleasant connotation. Merely say, he will be my guest.
Your guest? In exchange for a few hours in a reading room. What do you suppose is happening to Soames right now in the world of 100 years hence? You behind that desk, listen to me. Everyone else here in this room moves away from me in terror when I come near. I shan't bite your head off. Answer my questions.
Your dress, straight.
Never mind what I'm wearing. Tell me quickly. What is the date?
Date? 3? June.
Oh, I know it's the 3rd of June. What year?
Well, 997.
1997, sure enough. And this is the reading room of the British Museum, right?
Read room, Brit Views, right?
Yeah, where is the catalogue? I want to see the catalogue under S.
This way. Here. Help.
Hello. Oh, S-N-S-O-F. I hardly dare open it.
Who are you?
Never mind who I am. I've work to do. Can you imagine this? I am about to see what posterity thinks of me. What man, what writer, whoever lived had such an opportunity?
Not understand.
You certainly speak in an abbreviated fashion. Now, I suppose I sound as strange and florid to you as, well, the Elizabethans sound to us. Before I open this, tell me something. Do you know the name? Shelley?
Yes.
Keats?
Yes.
Milton?
Yes.
Which of my own contemporaries do you know? Hardy.
Hardy? Yes.
Wells. H.G. Wells.
Yes.
Swinburne, Algernon. Rossetti. Dante Gabriel.
Swinburne, yes. Rossetti, yes.
And you do know the name Soames? Enoch Soames.
Soames? Soames. No. Don't know.
How in the world did you ever get a job in this reading room? You are obviously a very ill-read man. Here, I'll show you. S-N-Y. Snidington Alfred Phonetics and Improvement of English Language, 1986. S-O, here we are. S-O-A. Oh, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. First entry under S-O-A is soap. A book about soap. Where are your listings for Soames? S-O-A-M-E-S.
Soames?
Yes, sir. Well, obviously, there's some new arrangement. Where are your late 19th and early 20th century books?
All same catalog.
Well, there's some gigantic mistake here. How dare you not even list my books, Negations and Fungoids. It's unheard of. I know where they'd have a big write-up. The Dictionary of National Biography. Yes, and the Encyclopedia Britannica. The volume under S-O-A. Get them for me, and quickly. Yes, I get
it.
It's ridiculous to feel disappointment. I must merely track these things down. I shall find plenty of material.
Here. Dictionary of National Biography.
Yes, thank you. This phonetic spelling certainly is strange. English. I-N-G-L-I-S-H. Writer, R-I-T-E-R. Well, the proper names seem to be spelled in the old way. Oh, yes, all the proper names they've right. Galsworthy. That's a strange one. Where'd he come from? Kipling? Imagine his lasting all this time. Barroom poet. Shaw. George Berman. Who in the devil was he? Oh, no. S-O-S-O-A. Idiot. There's nothing. What kind of civilization is this?
The Encyclopedia.
Oh, yes. That's an intelligent work. Certainly they'll have something. Stevenson? They're joking. A man who wrote a lot of hogwash for children. Oh, sit back. S-O-S-O-A. Nothing. Nothing. What a joke. What a great, colossal joke. For this look at nothing, this assurance that I shall not be known by posterity, I've sold myself body and soul to the devil. There must be something, a paragraph someplace, a mention, even a bad mention. You, tell me quickly, what's the best book on late 19th century literature, the last 10 years?
Nupton. T.K. Nupton.
Get it, me.
Here at
rest. Oh. And how they stare at me, all these people here. Oh, if they knew who I really was, they'd stare, all right. Thank you. The index. What's this? Page 234. This is ridiculous. Stupid. Unheard of. The deceit of this, the shame of it. Imaginary. I can't bear it. I can't. You get me a pencil and paper, or whatever you monsters use these days to write with. I want to copy down this gibberish and take it back to me on time. And this is my immortality. This is how I am treated by posterity.
All this Soames told me when he reappeared back on June 3rd, 1897, precisely at 7 o'clock. And reappear he did. As devilishly sudden as he had disappeared, he sat crouched forward against the table exactly as when last I had seen him. It was as though he'd never moved, he who had moved so unimaginably far.
I can't believe it.
Soames, listen to me. You mustn't be discouraged. Perhaps it's only that you didn't leave enough time. 2-3 centuries hence, perhaps.
Yes, I've thought of that.
And now, where are you going to hide?
Hide?
From him. From the devil. You must run.
It's just my luck to spend my last hour on earth with a fool. And a treacherous fool.
Well, you don't mean to say you're going to wait simply here till the devil comes to fetch you.
I can't do anything else. I've no choice.
Well, for the honor of the human race, you ought to make at least some slight show of resistance.
What has the human race ever done for me? Besides, I'm in his power. I've no will. I'm sealed.
Soames, tell me what else happened 100 years from now.
There was...
something I copied. I've tried to remember.
That's right. Try to remember everything. What did the reading room look like?
Much as usual.
Really? What did the people look like?
They all looked very much like one another.
Everybody in uniform? Greenish, yellow?
I think so.
And all of them looking very well cared for, very utopian and smelling rather strongly of carbolic, and all of them quite hairless?
In a general way, yes. I didn't have much time to look at the people.
No, of course not. But you weren't in the catalogue.
Oh, I remember now. Yes? I copied it down. Here, I have it here. It's all written in their crazy phonetic language. Here, read it, you horrible scavenger.
This is very strange. From page 234 of Brit Literature, 1890 to 1900, by T.K. Nupton, 1992.
Oh.
Literature spelled L-I-T-R-A-C-H-E-R. A writer of the time named Max Beerbohm, who was still alive in the 20th century, wrote a story, in which he portrayed an imaginary character called Enoch Soames, a third-rate poet who believes himself a great genius and makes a bargain with the devil in order to know what posterity thinks of him. It shows how seriously the young men of the 1890s took themselves. Thank heaven we have no Enoch Soameses among us today.
What a nightmare.
What do they mean, I-M-A-J-N-A-R-I? Oh, imaginary, I suppose that is. But Soames, you're no more imaginary than I am.
You?
I'm sure you copied this correctly.
Quite.
Think of what's in store for the art of letters. Heaven preserve it.
Who cares about the art of letters? Think of what's in store for me.
Well, Soames, now don't look at me like that. After all, the name Max Beerbohm is not at all an uncommon one. Yes. And there must be several Enoch Soameses running around. Enoch Soames is a name that might occur to anyone writing a story. You must see that.
I see the whole thing. You're such a bad writer that instead of imagining a thing and making it seem true, you're going to make a true thing seem as if you'd made it up. You're a miserable bungler, and it's just my luck.
But the miserable bungler isn't I. It's not going to be I, but T.K. Nupton, don't you see that?
Save your arguments. Here is my guide to the nether region.
Ah, good evening, gentlemen. I'm sorry to disturb your pleasant party.
Stand back. You're not taking him. Mr. Soames got absolutely nothing from his journey this afternoon. The whole thing was a common swindle, so the bargain is off.
On the contrary, a bargain...
No,
it's
I won't.
No use arguing with the devil. You should know that. Goodbye, Beerbohm. I ask only one thing.
Yes?
In your blasted story, try to make them know that I did exist.
So,
shall we be as they say?
Off.
Now you know why I'm writing this story. I have to. It's fate, preordained. Now, there's one way to prove, of course, who was right, T.K. Nupton or me.
Enoch Soames will appear again in 1997. A lot of you will be alive then. I shan't. So why don't you put it down on your calendar pad? Go to the reading room of the British Museum. A visitor from a century past will be there. A dim man with a hungry look, sometime on the afternoon of 3 June, 1997. You might ask him something all of us have always wanted to know. How's the weather, darling?